بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We begin the تفسير of سورة قاف. And سورة قاف is سورة number 50 in the glorious Quran. And it begins with بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And this basmala, as we spoke about it several times, is an independent verse beginning with which every surah begins with, except Surah Bara'a, Surah number 9. The Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim, may Allah be pleased with all of them, did not write in the beginning of this surah, they didn't write the basmala, but rather they made a separation between it and the end of Surah Al-Anfal. And so therefore there is no basmala for Surah Bara'a. Then the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qaf wal-Qur'an al-Majid. Qaf, by the glorious Quran. Qaf is one of the alphabetical letters of the Arabic language that constitutes the Arabic speech. And as the rest of the letters, in itself it has no meaning. In itself it has no meaning. And we know that the Quran was revealed in the Arabic tongue. And if these letters that have no meaning in the Arabic tongue, also they don't have a meaning in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning no independent meaning on their own. However, with respect to the what they signify, then there is a great and magnificent significance for them, and that is that this Quran, which incapacitated the Arabs in terms of the language, yet they are the ones who were known for their eloquency. This Quran, in its miraculous status, did not bring anything new, meaning anything new to the Arabic alphabets, which the Arabs did not know. But rather, these letters are known to them, yet despite that, they were unable to bring the like thereof of the Quran, and therefore this stands as a proof that it is the speech of Allah, the Mighty and the Magnificent. And so therefore you don't find any, rarely you find a surah that begins with these letters of the alphabet, except that the Quran afterwards is mentioned. Except that the Quran is mentioned afterwards, comes after these letters. And here, this is one case. Qaf wal Quran al Majid, by the glorious Quran. Wal Quran, wow, here the letter wow is a letter of oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the Quran. And Allah, the Most High, has the absolute right to swear by whatever He wishes. And here, He, Allah, the Most High, is swearing by the Quran. That means He is swearing by His own words. By His own words. And the speech of Allah is from His attributes. The speech of Allah is from his attributes. And the people of knowledge, rahimahumullah, mentioned that it is permissible to make an oath by Allah, the Most High, or by one of His attributes, or by one of His attributes. As to His verses, as to the verses, then they are not to be used for an oath, except if the person intends by these verses the words of Allah, as being the words of Allah, like Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Al-Tawrah in its original form, the Injil in its original form, and so forth, being the speech of Allah. This is with respect to the texts, the verses. With respect to the signs, the universal signs, like the sun and the moon, then it is not permissible for us to make an oath by them. But with respect to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala can swear by whatever He wishes. By whatever He wishes. This is the benefit concerning the oath. Now, the Quran, what is the Quran? The Quran is derived from qara'a, idha tala, qara'a, reciting, aw min qara' idha jama', if he brings together, if he collects, from that is qarya, a town, because people gather in it. So therefore the Quran comprises the two meanings, recited and collected together. Al-Majid, glorious, possessing glory, magnificence, absolute authority. This is the meaning of Al-Majid. So the Quran has its greatness and its prevalence over the rest of the previous books or scriptures. And He is a judge over all of them. Is not judged, but itself is a judge. And also it is glorious because it raises in rank and makes prevalent the one who holds to it, the one who holds to the Quran. Now, then in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ عَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءَهُمْ مُنْذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا شَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. Nay, they wonder that there has come to them a warner from among themselves. So the disbelievers say, this is a strange thing. So those who belied the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and belied his message, they belied the Quran, and they belied the resurrection, and they belied the last day, the hereafter. And that's why عَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءَهُمْ مُنْذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ. They wonder that there has come to them a wonder from amongst themselves. This wonderment or astonishment, this wonderment is astonishment as well as denial. We said so because wonderment sometimes means belying and denouncing and negating, and sometimes it could also mean approval of something, commending something, liking something. Like for example, Aisha radiallahu anha described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as he alayhi salatu wasalam كان يعجبه التيمن في تنعله وترجله وطهوره وفي شأنه كله. As in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and we take Bukhari 1469. In Sahih Al-Bukhari, he used to like to start from the right side on wearing shoes, and also on combing his hair and cleaning or washing himself, and on doing anything else. So here, this ajab, this is yu'jibuhu, the term yu'jibuhu refers to liking. So therefore, again, this term al-ajab could mean astonishment, wondering, and denial, and it also could mean liking something. The Prophet ﷺ, يُعْجِبُهُ, used to like to start from the right side on wearing shoes, combing his hair, and cleaning or washing himself, and on doing anything else, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ والسلام. Here in this verse, بَلْ عَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءَهُمْ مُنْذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ. They wonder that there has come to them a warner from among themselves. Meaning he is not someone strange, but rather from them, lineage, rank, dwelling, they know him. Yet despite all of that, they said this is something strange, astonishing, wondering, rejection. When he came as Muhammad the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed them that Allah will resurrect them and that he will recompense them, ta'ajjabu, they wondered, how is this? Would then we be brought after we change into crumbled bones? They said هذا شيء عجيب. This is a strange thing. أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا. أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا. ذَلِكَ رَجْعٌ بَعِيدٌ. أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا. ذلك رجع بعيد. After we die, when we are dead and have become dust, shall we be resurrected? They said that is a far return. That is a far return. And it is recommended upon recitation to stop here. To stop. إِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا. When we are dead and have become dust. Because the other term that came, the other statement, ذَلِكَ رَجْعٌ بَعِيدٌ, is a new statement. It is unrelated from a grammatical perspective with the previous statement. So here when they said, أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا, when we are dead and have become dust, shall we be resurrected? Exclamation, meaning denial. Denial. As if they are saying, لَا يُمْكِنْ أَن نَرْجَعْ. It's impossible that we will return and be resurrected after we are dead and have become dust. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that He is all able to do that. قَالَ تَعَالَى ذَا فَلَمَّا قَالُوا. So when they said, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that He is all able. So when they said, ذَلِكَ رَجْعٌ بَعِيدٌ, that is a far return, meaning that it is impossible. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَدْ عَلِمْنَا مَا تَنْقُصُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْهُمْ. قَدْ عَلِمْنَا مَا تَنْقُصُ الْأَرْضُ منهم. We know that which the earth takes of them, their dead bodies, and with us is a book preserved. قَدْ عَلِمْنَا مَا تَنْقُصُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْهُمْ. We know that which the earth takes of them, their dead bodies, and with us is a book preserved. The earth eats up the individual, the person, after death. So Allah knows what the earth takes of them, of their bodies. Even after it takes that. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا تَنْقُصُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْهُمْ, we know that which the earth takes of them, may indicate that it does not take all the body. May indicate that it does not take all of the body. But there are details here. With respect to the prophets, the earth does not take them, no matter how long they stay in their graves. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَن تَأْكُلَ أَجْسَادَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Allah made it forbidden upon the earth to take away the bodies, the dead bodies of the prophets. So other than them, then the body may stay for a long time and the earth does not take of it except what Allah wills, and it may be taken in its entirety. However, with one exception, that is, there remains, if it is taken, there remains the Cossack's bone. And this is the tiny part of bones in the lower part of the back. This stays by the leave of Allah, not taken by the earth, because it is as if it remains as the nucleus for the body upon its resurrection on the day of resurrection. Then the son of Adam will be reformed from it. So when the blowing in the trumpet, the second blowing, when the first blowing of the trumpet, following the first blowing and the second blowing of the trumpet, then after the second one, they will be resurrected from their graves. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows as to what the earth takes of their bodies, then He is able to bring together all that which the earth took to bring it back on the day of resurrection. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, وَعِنْدَنَا كِتَابٌ حَفِيظٌ, and with us is a book preserved, meaning preserving everything. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Infitar, verse chapter 82 verses 9-12, كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون. Nay, but you deny the recompense, but verily over you are appointed angels in charge of mankind to watch you, honorable, writing down your deeds. They know all that you do. Then in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ فَهُمْ فِي أَمْرٍ مَرِيجٍ فَهُمْ فِي أَمْرٍ مَرِيجٍ Nay, but they have denied the truth, this Quran, when it has come to them. So they are in a confused state. They cannot differentiate between right and wrong. كَذَّبُوا بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ So they denied the truth, the Quran. Yet their hearts are certain, but their tongues deny. As Allah the Most High spoke about the people of Fir'aun, the Pharaoh. Allah said about them in Surah An-Naml 27:14, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا And they belied them, the signs of Allah, wrongfully and arrogantly. وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ Though their own selves are convinced thereof. That these signs are from Allah. And here, بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ Nay, but they have denied the truth when it came to them. فَهُمْ فِي أَمْرٍ مَرِيجٍ So they are in a confused state. The matter is confused to them, confused. They became confused. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-An'am chapter 6, verse 11. وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ And we shall turn their hearts and their eyes away from guidance as they refuse to believe therein for the first time. Listen. As they refuse to believe therein for the first time. And we shall leave them in their trespass to wander blindly. That is because they didn't believe in it therein for the first time. And so they continued in their transgression, wandering blindly. And so those also the same. Though when they belied, they became in a state of confusion, wavering concerning their affair. And so it is the case. With every person who rejects the truth the first time. So it is the case with every person who rejects the truth the first time should know that he will be tested with doubt. He will be tested with doubt concerning the acceptance of the truth in the future. I repeat, every individual who refuses to take the truth the first time should know that in the future he will be tested with doubt regarding accepting the truth. And therefore it's a must upon all of us that when we hear that this matter is the truth, to say sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey, not like those who, if they are presented by the matter and it is said to them, this is the command of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they say, Is the command for obligation or recommendation? Is this obligatory or recommended? Subhanallah. Do what you are commanded, whether it is an obligation or recommendation. Because this response is like, if it is a recommended matter, then I, you know, don't have to do it. But if it is obligatory, I will do it. This attitude, this behavior is wrong. Rather, the person should say, سمعنا وأطعنا. We hear and we obey. Then afterwards, for example, there comes a question in cases like someone may have fallen into something wrong. He may say, is this an obligation or recommendation? Then that would have a reasonable a place to accept. But before that, no. But someone may say the following. I ask, is this for obligation or recommendation? Because there is difference between obligation, what is obligated and what is recommended. And that the obligated is more beloved to Allah. And I do that and I ask about it so that if I believe that it is wajib, if I believe that it is wajib, and that's why I ask to know, then I will be rewarded on it, the reward of a wajib. But if I believe and comes to know that it is sunnah, then I will be rewarded for it, the reward on the sunnah. And that's why I ask. Someone may say this. We say, yes, this is good. However, the reward of your submission to the truth from the first time and with ease and without a question is better than you coming to know whether this is wajib or recommended. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated it upon you, then He will reward you the reward of an obligation, even though you may not know. So therefore, the submission and complete yielding is far greater and more virtuous than just coming to know, is this a wajib or this is recommended? You understand the difference? Is that clear? Okay. Inshallah, we'll stop here. This will be verse 5, the end of verse 5. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.